Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't escape the 49ers special teams. Packers, I thought they had the worst special teams unit of all time. And they pull a Niners and they fumble right off the rip. It was watching all those games. Not every moment of every game did I pivot back to the 49ers, but it's hard not to. And let's start with Washington. This is a team that had the number 2 overall pick. They've basically been dormant for about 25 years. You and I grew up in the Washington area,
right?
Was a hotbed for professional football. Mm-hmm. And we know that baseball, they've been, you know, pretty relevant in terms of winning the World Series a couple years ago and having some marquee youngsters in Bryce Harper, Strasburg, and things like that. But I grew up, that was a football market. Yep. And that organization was a powerhouse organization. And it's just crazy. The hope of a great quarterback and what it can do. You get a new coach in Dan Quinn who, I mean, I think most of us are like, Dan Quinn, you know.
But I'd probably higher on Dan Quinn than others.
Okay, but like nobody thought he was going to, you know, reinvent the wheel. You thought he was stable, right? Like at minimum. And they take that kid number 2 overall, and it's the poise. It's the smarts. It's the moxie. It's the ability to, you know, basically run no huddle.
Yeah.
What felt like the entire game with Cliff Kingsbury. And I was just so impressed with him and how he played the game. And I just started thinking like, man, football's better when a big time region like Washington is now in the mix.
Right.
No, it just is.
No, you get the nation's capital. They're going to start getting night games. Because even if it goes back a couple weeks ago, we were off during the holidays, or maybe I was off that Monday or whatnot. But when Michael Penix Jr. is dual league with Jaden Daniels, and you have big time football in the nation's capital, a game that mattered, Commanders and Falcons. And I said, and you can see the cameras shaking because old RFK Stadium, when it would rock, it would be like Doak Campbell Stadium where the camera's shaking. You're looking at the field. You're like, wow, it's going crazy in there with the Hogs and Charles Mann, Dexter Manley, Darryl Green in the back end. And so now you get this market. And I know they're fighting for RFK Stadium. I think they won that vote to bring the Commanders back downtown to Washington, D.C. So you get the owner of Josh Harris. You got Adam Peters there running the show. You got Dan Quinn there. Bob Myers is chilling. Kingsbury is calling the plays. And you got a quarterback who's as calm as I've seen coming into this league. I cannot believe how much composure this young man has going toe-to-toe with Baker Mayfield. And it was Baker Mayfield who came up with the big turnover. And it wasn't Jaden Daniels who threw interceptable passes. And he made clutch throws on third down over and over and over again. They do have hope. And in that division, now you get the rivalries back. Cowboys, Commanders. Commanders, Eagles. And then Commanders and Giants. So it is fun having D.C. You're right. Having the marquee teams that we grew up with, that's why I'm waiting on the Raiders.
Yeah.
I want to see the Raiders be good.
Well, the Bears is a team that I want to see do well. Like, not because I like the Bears or the Raiders, but like, it's just better when those teams are functional and just in the mix. And we know that their fan bases, although they've been quiet, they're still large fan bases. Jaden Daniels, man, this guy, I just can't believe how good he is in terms of like calm, telling everyone where to go. You know, he's basically, you know, going up to the line of scrimmage and it's not a true up-tempo type of an offense.
No, but they don't.
But he's pointing things out and he's going to the line. He's talking to his center and his guards and he's smacking him on the leg and he's telling Eckler where to line up or Robinson where to line up. And I don't know. I was really impressed with his poise. Obviously, you know, there's a couple of throws he wants back, one at the red zone, them going for it on fourth down. I mean, there was a lot of gumption. But it's a trip when you get a quarterback that just breathes hope into the entire organization. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, like, look, they've got a lot of cap room. They got all their draft picks. Last year, they traded away Montez Sweat at the deadline. They traded away Chase Young at the deadline. Doesn't it feel like this is probably their worst version of their team? Like, they're only going to get quote unquote better because of some of the things they'll be able to add to this.
Well, you bring in Dan Quinn, who knows how to coach defense. I thought Dan Quinn did a hell of a job in Atlanta when he led them to the Super Bowl. And then obviously with the Cowboys defense, they looked a lot better under Dan Quinn than they did Mike Zimmer. Although they had a plethora of injuries this season, the Cowboys, that is. Dan Quinn can coach defense. So they got ahead of it saying, look, we're not going to win anything with sweat. Chase Young, we think, is not a guy we could go into the future with. And we've seen Chase Young now. He's okay.
He's disappointed.
But he's underwhelmed.
Yeah, he's disappointed.
He's underwhelmed. So they pivot off of that, get some draft capital, and you get into that top three saying, okay, we know who our quarterback is. We're going to get Jaden Daniels. And we have Terry McLaurin, who's an underrated leader in this league. He's a big-time leader for that football team, and he comes up with monster catch after monster catch. And now these other guys are coming along. Brian Robinson Jr., got shot. Yeah. We know he's resilient. And then Austin Eckler, who we saw with the Chargers for a long, long time. So they do have a quarterback. And it kind of reminded me, in a way, as I'm watching it, and I'm watching Jaden Daniels rally that team, in a way it was Brock Purdy-esque. I'm not saying Brock Purdy's Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying that at all before we all go crazy. But when Brock Purdy got inserted to the lineup, and he lit it up in that Miami game, and then he outduels Tom Brady at Levi's Stadium, and he helped them go on that run, he galvanized that football team in that Niner locker room. So when you get a good quarterback play who is calm, cool, and collected, and they make big-time third-down throw after third-down throw or a scramble, or you get put up in third and short situations or fourth and short situations with this quarterback, and you don't, and you're like, you know what? I got a shot with this guy. Mm-hmm. I got a shot on every single play to make something happen. It does galvanize an organization.
And it feels like they're now a destination, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you're a playmaker, don't you want to play on that team?
Well, you heard the rumors during the deadline that a lot of players wanted to get traded there because there's a lot of money. You got Josh Harris. You got Josh Harris running the show. And there is a vibe out there. They have a real – you look at their locker room speeches. Even early in the year, they beat somebody. Oh, they beat Arizona. They blew out Arizona. And they gave a game ball to Cliff Kingsbury. But the way that locker room was in that I watch all that nonsense, right? At the locker room, how's the team vibing? Are they feeling it? Like Jim Harbaugh days, when who's got it better than us? You see all that Niner team.
I was a sucker for that.
Yeah, I was a sucker for that stuff. But you saw that Niner locker room starting to come together week by week by week. That's what the Commanders are. Now, you know what? They believe they got a shot Saturday night in Detroit.
No, I have some overreaction statements that I want you to kind of react to. And I like them a lot against Detroit, but I still like Detroit. The other thing that I noticed when I'm watching this game, obviously Bobby Wagner, all-time legend, just still making plays. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
He's still in the league making plays. But when I watch Jalen Hurts, when I watch, obviously Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and on the other side of the bracket. But when I watch the NFC in particular with Jaden and with Jalen Hurts, I say to myself, the defensive linemen and the linebackers that I'm acquiring in this upcoming offseason and in this draft, and Bosa, they better be keen in on one element that is not going to go away, and that's the RPO stuff.
Yep.
How many times do we see these quarterbacks tuck it and either stuff it into the running back's arms or pull it out and go? If you are not instinctual on that play, I think your defensive line is completely outdated.
Well, just think about what we saw over the weekend with the RPO, zone read, quarterback.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
TJ Watt. Obviously, his assignment was to crash down on a running back and take away the running back. But that could be a mistake because Lamar Jackson pulled it and got outside all day long. So you got to make a choice. We saw Bosa in the Super Bowl. Maybe that was his assignment under Steve Wilks. Go crash at the running back. Well, kids took advantage of that. Mm-hmm. They got a first down on fourth down. We saw a keeper earlier in the fourth quarter. The rest is history. Now, I thought Tampa Bay, for the most part, did a good job on Jaden Daniels. There was a couple third shorts where he couldn't get to, and he got blasted on the sidelines. But you got to have an athletic edge rusher who understands the assignment. You cannot let these guys get outside. You got to close down that gap. And that's why the wide nine against those type of players, it will get torched over and over and over again because of the gaps. The spacing is too much. Splits is too much on that defensive line. So whoever you get out there, yes, you have to contain these guys because it's not going anywhere. These guys are going to pull it, and they're going to do anything. Now, you brought up the quarterbacks here. Jaden Daniels or Baker Mayfield were their most impressive NFC quarterbacks by far and away.
It was such a fun game.
Lamar Jackson did what he had to do, and Josh Allen, we'll get to them. The whole Spider-Man meme. They're all-time legends, right? But I'm looking at Jordan Love, who I was high on, and This is a good litmus test. A lot of people say, boy, Jordan Love got all that money, right? It just proves that when you have different combinations on the offensive line and you have continuous injuries at the wide receiver position, and guys are jumping in and out of the lineup, whether it's Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Wicks, you're going to have issues at the quarterback spot. Listen to these numbers with Jordan Love. All right, Jordan Love's stats are true dropbacks. I got this from Brett Coleman last night. Jordan Love's stats are true dropbacks this season, and these are non-play action, non-RPO, non-screen pass attempts. This is just drop back, rip it, grip it, let's go. Jordan Love, 57% completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 7.5 yards per attempt. For context, he's 26th in completion percentage on true dropbacks and 27th in passer rating. So on true dropback passes, he's not getting it done. And in this league, on third down, especially in the postseason, you better be able to throw from the pocket and make money down plays. And that's what Josh Allen did. That's what Lamar Jackson did. Baker Mayfield and Jay Daniels did that for the most part yesterday down in Tampa Bay. But Jordan Love regressed. So when you look around the league and you look around the NFC, watching Jordan Love in Green Bay made me feel a lot better about Brock Purdy with the 49ers.
Well, it's interesting you brought that particular, you know, Brett Coleman tweet up. Explain that one more time for people that are listening, because I actually have the Brock Purdy numbers with that exact same criteria.
Yep. So true drop back, because I don't think Purdy was good this year either on the true drop back. But this is the non-play action, non-RPO, non-screen pass attempts. 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. The worst TD interception ratio among starters.
Brock Purdy, same criteria this year. 62% completion, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 9.1 yards per average, and an 89 rating.
So a little bit better than Jordan Love.
A little bit better, but not much.
Not much.
Only the 6 touchdowns. That goes to show you, like, only 6 touchdowns and half of his picks. The majority of the Niner offense for any quarterback is going to be all of the play action, all of the boots, all of the short stuff, so you're not going to just drop back. I think that's more the LaFleur and Shanahan offense and what they're looking for. But the point on Jordan Love is a good one. You can't turn the ball over.
No.
You can't be reckless. I think about Brett Favre and, you know, the 90s. You and I were having this conversation about all the different decades and the quarterbacks. Brett Favre basically was, you know, 5 years in a row the best quarterback in the NFL. Yep. What did him in? He should have multiple Super Bowls.
Interceptions.
Turnovers. And Jordan Love is not as good as Brett Favre. That's obvious. Brett Favre is an all-time player. He's a terrible human being. He's an all-time player. And turning the ball over is going to get you a quick oust in the playoffs, period.
I just saw a stat on our screen here with Jordan Love. He threw 18 interceptions when trailing in football games. 18. And he's directly, he almost threw a pick on his first pass attempt yesterday. And so what I'm looking, and then Jalen Hurts didn't look right. Something's up with Philadelphia's passing game, which concerns me because they're my Super Bowl pick. But we'll see what happens tonight with Sam Darnold and Matthew Stafford. Boy, what a game for Sam Darnold. This is a monster game against a team that's going to be playing with a lot of emotion, fighting for their city in L.A. This game tonight in Glendale, Arizona is fascinating. But to your point about the drop-back passing game, it could be size. It could be trust in your offensive line. It could be a number of things, maybe not seeing it. But it is tough to throw from this pocket in this league. So watching those guys with the RPO, you get them out on the perimeter, and there's nothing wrong with play action. John Elway ran play action to itself. So
make
I want to make sure
for the quarterback.
Make it easy for the quarterback. But it just shows in the pocket, and it gets muddied. A lot of guys struggle, especially young guys.
100%. But I think the point on Jordan Love is a good one in that, you know, we thought he was going to take a step forward. Development's not linear. And I think this year was a disappointing year for him on a variety of fronts. Himself, he got hurt. He was banged up. Players around, Christian Watson's hurt again. And obviously Doubs came out of that game. And Reed came out of that game. Yeah. But they had great run game this year. Yep. And he just didn't put it together. And it just goes to say that, like, not every year is going to be your year. So I still have a lot of questions on him.
No doubt. And then you get to the other side. Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud. And that Chargers game, I say to myself watching the first half, I'm saying they're leaving this game on the platter for Houston. All Houston needs is one play. And they got that one play from C.J. Stroud where he scrambled to the right, got to the sideline, and hits a dart 30 yards down the field. And it was like, they're back, because the Chargers were playing with their food over and over and over again. It doesn't fall on Justin Herbert. Look, I think they exceeded expectations. My personal expectations.
I would agree.
They had nobody like Ladd McCauley. I did not think would translate to this type of wide receiver in the league this fast. Quentin Johnson can't catch a cold. So they need a couple weapons. I think for them going to the playoffs is a big step in the right direction, as well as the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix. So I'm going to exonerate them a little bit here, but Justin Herbert definitely left a lot on the table throwing four picks.
Well, I mean, he keeps getting put into the upper echelon of the quarterbacks, and to me, he's just a click below those guys. I mean, you've got to do it in the playoffs, number one. And number two, again, you can't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. The same conversation we had with Jordan Love. To be fair, I thought they really overachieved this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have a true number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I like Ladd McConkey a lot. He's not a number one.
Yeah, he's not a number
one. And they don't have a tight end. And so, yeah, I think that they definitely overachieved. But Justin Herbert's going to have to wear this in the same way that Jordan Love had to wear it. When you lose the way that you lose, turning the ball over at the most high-priced position, you've got to be better. You've got to be better with the football, period. Yep. And the one thing I will grant him, once you get a little out of control in these games and you have to start throwing like crazy, I mean, Marino had a 5-interception game in a playoff game.
No doubt.
Montana had multiple big interception games. I think it was the Viking game. He threw multiple picks. Like, it does happen in playoff games because you're chasing. Your season's on the line. I'm not making excuses. Saying. Like,
that's what happens.
Exactly.
And you're playing against some of the best defenses in football. You're playing... Go ahead.
That Texans defense, I believe, made Jared Goff throw 5 interceptions.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like their defense.
No, I like their defense a lot, but this is playoff football. That's why stats in playoff football gets a little skewed because you're playing against the best of the best.
It does.
You're getting game plan for. Defenses are throwing the kitchen sink at you. Your season's on the line. It's a do or die situation. That's why Ben Roethlisberger, his first Super Bowl, go look at his numbers. They were atrocious, but you know what? They leaned on the defense. They leaned on a running game, and that's my big takeaway. This week, it felt like it was the weekend of the running back. James Cook, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson Jr. last night, Bucky Irving last night, Saquon Barkley, of course, in Philadelphia. We're going to see some running backs tonight, and Kyron Williams and Aaron Jones. The running back, you need running back and offensive. How many times did you hear people talk about offensive line play?
It was all weekend. All weekend. The other thing is, it does feel like, to me, we're ready to crown a star in the NFL in Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying he's there yet, but I feel like the league is ready to propel him forward because of that franchise being so bad for so long.
And in the NFC as well.
Oh, no question.
The NFC needs a top-flight quarterback because the Golden Four are all in the AFC.
He's so fun.
They're all in the AFC. Adam in the city, hang tight because he wants to talk about quarterback play this weekend at Brock Purdy. We'll get to Adam. We'll continue.